Hit that wrong button, Josh. Didn't know you had to be a technical guy to work here, to do a radio guy.
No, there you go.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Phil Nightingale, General Manager here at Mel Hamilton Ford. Josh Proffitt, our service director, taking your calls at 316-462-3673. Anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries, whatever it might be, we're here to answer your calls. I know you get a lot of stuff out there on Google, but we're just talking to the sales meeting, Josh, about some of the things out there about the new Bronco that are false. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Something false on the internet. So anyway, hey, it's a call-in show. It's the only show I know you get paid to call in on. Josh and I got a lot of years of experience here to help you understand your cars. And kind of like back in the day when I worked with my dad, I could answer a lot of things over the phone. But today, boy, it's kind of hard, isn't it, Josh?
Yeah, it's, you know, there's just so many different systems in these things. And got the opportunity to visit a couple of different Votecs this week and talking about all the systems in these cars and the complexity of them. And they just... They make them more and more, you know, safer every day, more fuel efficient every day. And with that comes, you know, comes complexity for sure.
That's exactly right. So anyway, let's get the phones ringing. Got a lot of people out there watching. I'd love to answer your calls. If you want to jump on the chat line too, we can take those. But hey, do us a big favor. Go over to YouTube Live. We're trying to grow that YouTube Live and get some more likes out there. We want to grow that to then we can do some more exciting things with this show. From that part to help with that, but go to YouTube, Mel Hamilton Ford YouTube, and follow us there, like us there, and get us some likes so we can get this show. There's a lot of things we want to go do with this show, but it's going to take a little bit to get that show up and running until we get them. I think we're at 450 or something like that, so we got a little ways to go. But jump over to YouTube Live, like the Mel Hamilton Ford page, and let's go. James Furman, morning, James. Delbert Alt, as always, good morning. Thanks for watching. And Keith King, there you are. Good morning, Keith. And everybody's going here good. So let's get the phones. We're going 316-462-3673. Anyway, Josh, I want to talk about, we're in the sales meeting. We're going over the Bronco Sport, the Mach-E that's here.
Yep.
You know, everybody's kind of confused. We've got a Mach-E sitting here. Can't sell it till you get 4,000 miles on it. So come out here, get in that thing, and go take it for a cruise. It's pretty cool to drive. Josh, have you drove the black one yet?
So I have not. I, again, was headed to one of the Votecs. We took it down there to show and demo on that deal. Kelly drove it down there. I was going to drive it back. And actually, while we're down there, one of the other people from Ford had an issue with one of their F-150s. And so I was going to bring the Mach-E back, but instead I got in that F-150 to bring it back that was broke. So didn't have the advantage to do that yet, but we did take the white one the other day for the spin, and you know, it's just impressive. Still to this day, you know, as many vehicles as we see in and out of the service drive, and occasionally you'll jump or run across a hybrid, but to and the F-150s now with the power boost F-150s, I did have the opportunity to drive one of those the other day, but you just push that key button and you just expect, like, there's supposed to be a noise or a motor that starts or something like that. And then these electric vehicles, it just doesn't happen. And you think instantly, it's like, oh, okay, something's going on. What's happening here? And then it takes a second or two to understand. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know, Josh. And so what we're talking about in the sales meeting, we've got the Mach-E here. It's a black one. It's extended range, so about 300 miles worth of range on that thing. You need to come out and take it for test drive. It's very cool. We also got a Bronco Sport that's also got to get 4,000 miles on it for you to sell it. Got an accessory kit on that one. So come out and take it for a test drive. Can't sell it either until it gets 4,000 miles on it. The whole idea behind this is to get more customers behind the wheel of this. I get it. So the sooner we can get these 4,000 miles on it, some lucky person can own those cars. I do know they're working a deal on the Mach-E, and I know they're working a deal on the Bronco. I haven't got them locked in yet, but I know they're very close. We talked about it in the sales meeting this morning. Broncos, full-size Broncos, we're still taking the orders that made reservations, converting them. I've got three people coming in this morning to convert their Bronco orders. So much stuff out there on these forums about the Bronco. And I'm telling you, if it's not coming from Ford, don't believe it. Everybody's out there speculating what Ford's going to do, what's going to happen. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of things out there saying what's going to happen for the 22 model year. And so far, the only thing that Ford has told me that's new for 22 is going to be possibly have the 7-speed manual behind the 2.7 motor. That's it. But these forums are predicting and trying to guess, and they're trying to get their attention and everything else like that. But trust me, if it's not coming from Ford, you can listen to it. You can get some ideas and everything else like that. But so far, that is all that's happened. And right now, the late availability is that black painted top. And everything. And of course, the 2.7 is a little bit, and the Sasquatch a little bit late availability, but or limited availability is what I should say. I'm hoping Ford will get out there and see all the Sasquatch packages we're building.
Yeah, wanting.
And we'll try to get some more of those out there from that part. So
pump that up a little bit.
Exactly. So, Fred Cross, good morning. Delbert Arts watching. And yeah, I would love for you to update your edge as soon as you're ready to go, Delbert. So let us know there. You know, Joshua, we forgot about
what they get for calling in.
Exactly. Whose fault? That's me.
I'll take the blame.
So anyway, hey, 316-462-3673. It's the number to call in. Anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries, and only show I know you get paid to call in on. So Josh, as always, what's in that package about over $130?
So we're going to mail it out to you, but it's going to consist of the works, which is an oil change and tire rotation. We use Motorcraft oil and filter products here at Mill Hamilton Ford. While we're performing that, we're also going to complete a multi-point inspection on your vehicle, checking over the steering, brakes, tires, suspension, all the safety-related components on that vehicle, just making sure that it's geared up and ready to go for that next 5,000 miles of driving. We'll also get $10 to Mel's Diner so you can get yourself something to eat and drink while you're here at the Big Corner with us, as well as Complete Nitrogen. So you get all the great benefits that nitrogen has to offer for your tires. And then a BG products package, which is going to consist of a can of MOA or motor oil additive for your engine oil, and then a can of CF5 for your fuel system. Again, just getting the vehicle geared up and ready to go for that next 5,000 miles of driving.
All right. 316-462-3673. Let's get the phones ringing and, so we can give away some of these packages. And you know what? About every package anymore, we're having to give away also a free diagnostic because we just can't diagnose these things without hooking a computer up to them and see what's going on there too. So 316-462-3673, main store, the dealership. The girls will get your name and number on there, and then I'll patch you through to the show and would love to get you on here and answer anything at all. And again, just want to talk about the Bronco. You want to talk about the Mach-E. Whatever works is great. So anyway, Josh, the next thing I want to bring up is the I got to, a couple weeks ago, I got to drive the 21 F-150 and had it for, I don't know, 3 or 4 days. Sold it.
Yep.
So I had to get in a Super Duty. That's terrible, too. I know. Anyway, so we finally got in a couple of the hybrid.
The Power Boost.
Yeah, Power Boost trucks. So here's what I want to tell you. I live about 8 miles from the store.
Uh-huh.
I got in that thing, and granted, I did put it in the eco mode. And yes, I did try my dangest to get the best fuel economy that I could. Normally, when I drive in just a regular EcoBoost or whatever in town like that, it's about 16 miles to the gallon, just tell you. You know, hate to tell you, kind of like to get going, not to get there, anything else like that. But
fuel economy is not your top priority.
No.
Gotcha.
But anyway, so I got in the truck, and naturally, yes, I hit the key. Nothing happened. I thought, God dang it, what thing's dead? What's going on? Well, again, it's a hybrid. So I had to put it in gear. It took off as on electric. And I will tell you, like I said, I did put it in the eco mode. And so for those of you who don't know what the Power Boost is, it's a hybrid. And it's got another, except we've got a caller coming in here too. And it's got a electric motor behind the engine in front of the transmission there that helps power boost this thing. And I have yet to put it in the sport mode and hammer it yet, Josh, to see how fast it really is. Because it's pretty dang fast too. Anyway, I drove home. Went through a drive-thru to grab something to eat, and it was amazing how much that truck shut off, didn't run. I went almost 1.9 miles. It was on electric for the 8. I got 26.9 miles to the gallon.
Wow, that's some impressive fuel economy.
Well, let's see. We got a phone call?
Yeah, we do. We got Daniel on the line. They're getting Daniel patched through here, right. So we'll be with him just in a little bit. But
anyway, everybody, let's go over to YouTube Live or YouTube on Mel Hamilton Ford. Do us a favor. We're waiting on Daniel to get patched through here. Give us a like over there. Trying to grow this face thing up a little bit on this podcast. And once we get to 1,000 likes on YouTube, we can do a lot more things with the show and more options on the show and all that kind of stuff. So do us a favor. If you're watching today or listening, jump over to YouTube and like the Mel Hamilton Ford page and give us a like there, and we can help grow this show even more for what we're doing there too. So
good morning, Daniel. You're live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Well, golly gee, that ain't my favorite mechanism.
What's happening, buddy?
I got a new one for you, gentlemen.
That's odd. I didn't really a new one?
Yeah. 2009 Kia Spectra.
Okay.
And I'm gonna throw out some old school terminology. Okay.
Okay.
I popped the hood to check the fluid levels, and it was about a half a quart low, you know, a little four-cylinder. When I opened up the valve cover, you know what homogenized oil is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm trying to figure out where it's coming from. Can you give me a few hints? Because the radiator, let me speculate, about a half a gallon of antifreeze, you know, 70, 30 pre-mixed stuff. Okay?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm trying to figure out, because it's not on the dipstick. It's only in the valve cover. I used a little inspection scope, you know, and I can't even talk this morning. Endoscope camera.
Yep.
Okay, I put that on my laptop, you know, put the camera in there, and it's pretty thick. Do you or Josh have any idea? I'm serious, because belongs to my landlord. She's 86 years old. She cannot afford to have this car break down. So, one, is there any way to find out where it's coming from? Two, on a serious note, is there any additives? Say it's a blown head gasket or maybe a cracked block, you know, hairline fracture kind of thing. Is there any additives we can use to seal it up until we get something better? What say you?
Okay, well, first of all, it was just a half a quart low on oil, right? How much low was it on coolant? Yeah.
On fuel?
Coolant. Antifreeze.
Antifreeze is about a half a gallon.
Okay. How much have you drove it since you added that half a gallon in it?
Well, her ex-daughter-in-law drove to Wichita and back, so that's about 125 miles.
Okay.
In Hutchinson, she drove it about 30 miles, so right at 200 miles so far.
Okay, so now how's the
coolant? Since we added one.
Yeah. How's the coolant level now then after that 200 miles of driving?
It's back low again. I got to add more antifreeze this morning.
Okay, because what I was really thinking, you probably don't have a coolant leak or anything else like that. And these cold temperatures, if these cars just get started for a little bit of time and shut off and everything else like that, that builds up so much condensation in that valve cover, and that condensation is mixing with that oil, and that's what you're seeing, I think. I'm going to tell you my opinion, and Josh, you can add in here what you think too. In my opinion, what I think you ought to do is get that car good and hot. I mean, drive it probably 15, 20 miles at high, to me, at highway speed. So you got the RPM up and everything else like that. Change the oil.
Okay.
Put new oil filter in an oil. And then I bet you money, that's all you've got. You've just built up so much condensation in that valve cover from all these cold temperatures we've had. And the car's not getting up to operating temperature to burn that out of there. From that part. But again, if you're still losing coolant, we still got an issue there too. So I don't know, Josh, where you're at there.
Yeah. One, I'd want to look at the coolant system. The other thing I was wondering about was the actually PCV system in that vehicle being plugged or not being able to breathe like it could, and potentially causing an issue with it as well. You know, typically what we find. Go ahead.
I had an old Dodge that would do that, and when I changed out the PVC valves and the filter on the breather, it reduced it a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that.
So that would...
Last month, you know what senior commodities are?
What again?
In Hutchinson, they give out commodities to seniors.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah, now I'm following. Okay,
we were sitting in line, idling, and the engine light came on, and I looked at the temp gauge, and it was over 200 degrees. And I was just idling in line, and it was about 15, 20 degrees out. But,
So that thing, with it being an 09, it probably has a 205, maybe even 210 degree thermostat in it. So the temperature being that high doesn't really concern me from that aspect of it.
Well, the oil, her grandson-in-law, did an oil change and filter change, about 1,800 miles ago. So that's about 60 days ago. Is right around the turn of the year when he did it. It was real nice out. but he never, to my knowledge, tinkered with the PVC valve.
Yeah. The other side of it, I would wonder, as far as oil, what kind of oil got put it back in it, whether it was conventional oil or semi-synthetic oil, or what oil's in it, would be another thing that I would wonder about. But.
Well, I'm not trying to put a plug, but maybe I made the mistake of buying SuperTech generic oil at Walmart, you know, the 5W30.
Yeah.
But it's still losing coolant out of the radiator.
Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen, that's my worry there. Somehow it's, and I even added water, antifreeze to the overfill. The little marking on the jug on the bottom, right?
Yeah.
So I filled it up to that line, and it was gone in like 2 or 3 days. I checked it to see how it's going, and it's sucking that water right out of the overfill.
Well, Daniel, I think what we need to do, we'll add a diagnostic onto your package as well, or for you.
I told the lady that answered the phone, I really don't use your... But if you want to transfer me back to her, I'll go ahead and get the coupon with the diagnostics, and then me and my landlord will bring the car over to you guys, or how you want to do that.
Yeah, we can do that. So
I don't think we can transfer you back, Daniel. Why don't you just call back to the store and tell them what we got, and we'll
tell them that you want to give them your information.
We'll text them back forth and let them know you're going to be calling back.
Well, you both talked at the same time, so with my hearing, I didn't hear both of you.
Okay, call back to we can't transfer you back to her, so just call back to the store. We will text her and let her know you're going to be calling back in to give your information for the diagnostic, okay?
Okay. So, but the other question, and then I'll get off the phone, is there any additives that I can add either to the engine or the radiator to minimize the flow of a loss of fluid?
If it's a coolant leak, a head gasket or something like that, or an intake or whatever that's leaking in there, Danny, I wouldn't put nothing in the coolant to stop it. We need to figure out what's going on there, where that coolant's going. As far as an engine oil additive, I mean, I do think, hate to talk degrade that oil you're using, but I think maybe a little bit better grade oil would help a little bit. Who knows? We might find that PCV system or something there too. But any kind of an oil additive that I suggest or would want to use, and I use it in my stuff, is the motor oil additive from BG.
I would love to buy that, but we can't afford it. So I use literally the next thing. And here's a plug. I use Lucas oil treatment in my old 88 one ton. I love it. It's not as good as BG products, but gentlemen, it's the next best thing.
Daniel, for calling into the show today, you'll actually receive some of that as well. So
yeah, so we'll give you a couple cans of that MOA and stuff too. So,
well, thank you. Let me call the lady up front. And again, you guys are awesome. I listen to the so-called Ether Under the Hood on Facebook. They don't go into the questions like you guys do. Plus, they don't have the experience you two mechanics do. Thank you very much.
Daniel,
God
thank
bless
you.
Bless all.
You too. Thanks,
Daniel. See you on Facebook.
Thanks, buddy. Okay, let's get a few questions here. Greg Stump. Hey, Greg, I know that's a long drive for an oil change, but someday maybe you come back from the racing world or everything else like that too. But hope to see you at Bristol from that park. Going to be fun and exciting to go to Bristol and race there on the dirt. That part. Fred Cross, hey, you're very welcome. Last weekend here at the open house, race open house, had a lot of fun, had a lot of people in here, gave away a lot of prizes. So yeah, Fred, thanks very much, and look forward to it next year. And Delbert Art, thanks for the like and share, appreciate that very much too. So 316-462-3673. Anyway, Josh, for Daniel, come on the phone. We were talking about the limited power boost truck that I drove. Yep. 26.9 miles to the gallon. Now today, here's what I did. I decided I'm going to drive pretty hard to get here. And this time I didn't put it in eco mode. I drove, I'm going to tell you, I used the cruise because I love that adaptive cruise and everything. And I love pulling up to a stop sign that's stopping you, hit the room button, it takes off again and goes. So I used that. No, I didn't drive the speed limit. I hardly ever do that. Do you, Josh?
I do. I don't know.
Liar.
I'm going to move away from the lightning bolt that's getting ready to strike down here.
And I got 17 miles, 17.1 this morning, but it did no electric. That's because, you know, I was accelerating hard as I was doing it. And
well, and the other thing is it's got to get the engine up to operating temperature.
Exactly. I didn't do anything. Like I just backed out. I did. I backed right out of the garage, took off. I just wanted to see what it'd do in normal mode, 17. But again, it only didn't even get in electric mode. But I will tell you, I did charge the battery quite a bit on the braking.
Yeah.
It's got a braking. It also tells you how good you did the braking. Amazed at how much sometimes I can really get that thing good. I got it to 98% one time. Most of the time I'm in the 40s.
I don't know why that is. Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but it is. But anyway, you need to come out and check out these hybrid trucks. It's cool. The technology is in them. And then Josh, did you see that guy that got national news down there in Texas with his F-150? His house was out of power. He backed his F-150 up with a generator, plugged in and started running his house.
Oh yeah.
So he got national news with that. So if you haven't seen the onboard generators, that's pretty cool too. Trust me, I wish that I had that truck a couple of days ago. So I was about 5 hours without a power, but I don't know how to hook the dang thing up or whatever without getting that set up or whatever. But I was 5 hours without any power at my house. Would have loved to have that F-150 backed up to the door charging my house up. But
yeah.
But a lot of technology in that truck, and you need to come out and check out those F-150s. The ride is what I still can't get over. I mean, I jumped in that Super Duty and I missed my F-150 real well. Now I got back in that F-150 real quick. I don't know how they get that truck to ride away with it. As smooth as it is, as quiet as it is, it's crazy.
Yeah, just the amount of technology that they've put into those F-150s is it's phenomenal for sure.
Yep, exactly. So anyway, let's get the phones ringing. I want to talk to somebody this morning, 316-462-3673. And, you know, Josh, we've kind of been doing kind of a terrible job of thanking our sponsors of the show. It keeps us going each and every week. And the guys down at Big Corner Creative helped us get this show set up and get it going, helped us keep the podcast going. They post it everywhere. But again, anything you need to advertise your business, or if you need a web page design, need a vehicle wrap, need window wraps, need a window tint, need race car wraps, whatever, those guys at Big Corner Creative, they got a little slogan there that says, just Google us. And you'll see what all the things those guys do from that part. So, BG products. And again, everybody thinks that I use BG products here in the store just because of they're a sponsor of our show and they're on my race car. Well, no, I hate to tell you, I started using them in 1985. Loved them ever since. And the products they'd have, the way they keep growing the products, and what I love, the research labs right here in Wichita.
Yep.
And we just got a great partnership with those guys. They had a great display in our open house last week.
They did. Yeah.
Have an engine kind of cut apart and watched it move and watched it go inside there. It's pretty cool. So, great partnership with BG Products. And then again, also Go To Rent. Hey, if you're looking for a rental car, 12, 15 passenger van, give Stan a call right inside here at Mel Hamilton Ford for your rental needs. And he's been swamped this week with rentals because of people's cars not starting and all the stuff and everything food from there. So, Josh, the other thing I thought we would talk about a little bit this morning is we had a lot of issues with the diesels this week.
Yeah, very much so.
So let's talk about what happened there, what we need to do to our diesels. A lot of guys out there mad at their trucks because they didn't start. Well, you can't be mad at your truck when you don't take care of it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. The, you know, we had a lot of gelling issues with diesel fuel this week for sure. And essentially what that is that's just the diesel fuel, getting cold enough that it essentially, I mean, it kind of freezes in a sense, and it basically turns the fuel tank into a candle. You know, it waxes up and then, the pumps will kick on when you're trying to fire it up, and it will send all of that wax into the filters and just plug them up. It just does not. It just starves the vehicle for fuel. It cannot get any fuel when you're trying to push wax, so to speak, from that side. There are a lot of different additives out there. There's even, you know, different claims to fame to each additive, but what I'm going to tell you is that is certainly a preventative service, and that has to be done previous to any type of gelling or any type of lower temperatures. And if it's not, it's not going to be as effective. It's not going to work very well. And then, you know, once you do have a vehicle that gels up, really the only way to get it ungelled is by heat. You know, just by the vehicle warming back up, and it's got to warm up pretty good. It's not just a couple of degrees one way or the other to be able to turn that waxing back into fuel for sure.
And you're right. There are a lot of products out there for your diesel. I'm telling everybody, when it hits 30 degrees, you better start putting something in that thing, because you never know how long that tank of fuel is going to last.
Yeah.
How quick the temperature is going to change, and you know, the weather never changes in Kansas, right? from that part. But yeah, I got several phone calls from guys been out of shape and mad and everything else, where I get it, when your truck don't start, you're mad, but it's nothing wrong with the truck. And I don't care what you had, a Ford, you had a Dodge, you got a GMC or a Chevy, the diesel fuel is the diesel fuel. It's all going to wax up and do that from that part. And you've got to put an additive in that fuel for that part.
We've had, a couple of phone calls where we had to call wreckers out. And I mean, it didn't matter what company you were calling. They were, you know, sent in some cases even a day of getting a vehicle back, towed back in, just because of how busy they were with the colder climate. And the majority of it was diesels gelling up like that. And so, you know, there was a couple of cases where we just went out and got the vehicle on our own instead of waiting on a wrecker company from that side of things. And it's the one of the other real misconceptions, I think, is people think, okay, well, I have a diesel, and if I plug it in, then I'm good to go.
Not true.
And so what that really does, I mean, that takes care of the engine oil and the coolant, but it doesn't do anything for the fuel. There's nothing.
We'll do a little bit for the fuel that's in the engine, but as soon as you start it, that's getting pushed right back, and the fuel that's in the tank's getting pushed is full of wax. So
Kind of reversing, or right back in the same boat that you started in, for sure. So though, don't get me wrong, plugging a diesel in helps tremendously, especially in the temperatures that we had there, as far as that cold startup, but it doesn't do anything for that, the gelling concern.
And again, I tell everybody, on a diesel, they tell you you can go to minus 20 not to have the plug of them in.
Yeah.
I get that, but I'm telling you, if it's 30 degrees out, I'd be plugging my diesel in, no doubt. I'd have it plugged in and ready to go.
So it's just so much easier on the engine.
Well, the thing about the less wear and everything you're doing to that engine as you start that thing with that cold oil and everything else, and from that part, and the sooner we get that oil to those places, the better off we are. So anyway, I hope we're done with this cold
weather. Yeah.
I'm hoping for.
That was the last cold snap, last snow. You know, I'm predicting that right now.
Okay, good for you.
I just predicted. I'm be as good as accurate wrong. As a weatherman. I don't know.
I get you. I understand. I always say, I know the weather's hard to predict and all that kind of stuff and everything else too, but it is crazy the technology we have in our hand to watch the radars now and watch the forecast and know where it's at. And I mean, some of these apps are pretty good. I mean, they really are pretty good. And I track it and all that kind of stuff too. But okay, Josh, I'm holding you to it that that's the last snow, the last freeze. How about the last freeze? Got to be the last freeze.
Yeah. Well, why not?
Okay.
I think sometimes Kroger maybe controls the weather so they can sell groceries. It's going to be 10 inches of snow. Okay, it's due.
Yeah, I think they pay the weatherman.
That could be too.
So, anyway.
Yes, a lot of just cold snap stuff. Aside from that, diesels, batteries was another big thing. You know, a lot of batteries go down on vehicles stuff like that was another huge one.
You know, and it's once these batteries get so low, the water that's in them freezes and you're done. There's nothing you're going to do with that thing ever. I was kind of coming through my neighborhood a couple of days ago and they were shoveling the snow and they had the truck out there and had the jumper cables on it. Next morning, you could see they just took the back end of it and slid it around so they could get it out of the wags and never get it started. It's still sitting there today.
Still there.
Just need to go get a battery. There's just no way, even if it warms up to, like it's supposed to get in, I don't know, 40s or 50s or whatever today, tomorrow, whatever, that battery's toast. Once it's frozen, it's over. Just get another battery and roll on with the situation. But you're right, these cold temperatures are hard on those batteries. That's why every time you come in and get a service with us, we load test that battery and tell you where you're at. And what I love about that is it tells you if you got a 500 cranking amp battery, it tells you if you're 450 or 400. I'm going to tell you, if it's down to 350, I'm replacing that thing. Yeah. I'm not going to wait for that thing to go bad from that part. So make sure just ask us each time you come in, what's my battery testing? How's it testing? To know that thing's got the right cold cranking amps and everything else like that. I mean, back in the day with my dad, we didn't realize how much damage we were doing to test a battery. We were putting a load on that thing and cranking it down and all that kind of stuff. But that's all we knew. That's all we had. Now today with these
electronic testers, the digital testers,
it's crazy how easy you can test one of those things and tell what's going on with that battery and know that you're not going to have something lay down on you. But again, these cold snaps like that can snap a battery so fast, so quick. It's crazy.
You know, the other thing that we got, more frequent for sure in these temperature changes like this was low tire lights. They're that was another huge thing, you know. And even at the point, I mean, you think if it's zero out, literally zero out, and your tire temperature is starting out of that, and you're driving down the road, you know, and let's say it gains to 140 degrees, which typically it'd be a little bit more than that, but that's a huge temperature gap, you know, from one side or the other. And so you got, it's easy for these tires to gain 6-7 PSI, know, just by driving a temperature or a tire that is that cold going down the road. That's where, you know, nitrogen plays a big part in that and helps that. But yeah, low tire pressure indicators were another big thing that we've seen this week for sure.
Yeah. And it's crazy that little bit of temperature, can drop that thing into there. That's why I love the tire pressure monitoring systems. I know sometimes you think it's just a light on, just reset my light. No, that tire is low. It's low for a reason. I love to be able to see my tire temperatures now today driving down the road, because you can't tell so many of these tires today if they are low.
Yeah.
You're getting these cold temperatures take off and you don't have enough air pressure. Next thing you know, you've hit something, hit a bumping deal, you pop the bead off, done anything, or you've ruined a tire. Before you take off, you know where you're at and where you stand. I mean, it's just crazy how much better we are with that situation.
We just don't have near like what we used to. I mean, they're making tires now that are typically 50, 60, 70, 80, 100,000 mile tires for sure. And you don't see a lot of defective tires or tire blowouts because of a manufacturer defect in the tire or something wrong with the tire. What typically happens is it loses air. You know, loses air from a puncture or just being low from not being reinflated. But then when you drive on it low, then it gains too much temperature in the tire, and then it can't hold the temperature and it ends up blowing out from there. But and just about every scenario, that's what we find.
Yep. It's, you know, years ago, I get it. There was tire blowouts with the sidewalls giving out and everything else. Today, if you see a tire shredded on the highway, that's a semi that's had a retread, and that retread has come apart.
Yeah.
Or again, they've let a tire go low and don't know that inside dual's loose or whatever. And that's what you see on the highway. But today, these tires, we really don't have a defect of tires anymore. We just have a situation of a low pressure, overheating, tire gives out, and away you go. And just think about it. These tire pressure monitors, if we're going to tell you, if you've got a low tire, pull over and get some air, get something to preserve that tire. You know, Josh is always trying to sell me 8 tires on his used cars instead of 4. Yeah. That's just because how expensive these tires are getting today. Now, granted, they do last longer than they did years ago. I remember back starting my dad, when we first got in the tire business, we were changing tires every 10,000 miles. You know, now we're going 80, 90, sometimes 100,000 miles on tires.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So anyway, let's get the phones ringing. 316-462-3673. And I've got a chat I need to go here. I've got to get my glasses on so I can see, Josh.
See what we got.
James Furman talking about hybrid cars. I remember when the Mercury Rainer hybrid came out, it was working at wherever, and was driving it around. He stopped to talk to me and the sales manager, and I was talking outside. That thing was running so quiet, he thought he had shut it off and turned the key off, and it made a scream, scared the heck out of him. Yeah, I bet it did. And that's back to where we say, Josh, we hit these keys now, and nothing happens because it's getting ready to run on electric and from that part. So anyway, got some text coming in. Let me make sure I got everybody answered here. And anyway.
Yeah, the hybrid, that Mustang Mach-E is very cool. You know, these cars are so close to autonomous driving. You know, this Mustang out here, I haven't been in the black one yet, but I know that white one was. The F-150s too, they're equipped with the sensors and everything for the hands-free driving. I think we'll end up seeing that later on this year. From that side of it, but it's just amazing. The Copilot 360 in these things, thinking back from the lane assist, even just a year ago, and then driving one of them now with the Copilot 360, on it, and just how much more advanced that system is, how better it operates and works. And, it's just crazy.
You know, and that truck, that Power Boost truck's got that lane keeping and stuff in there too. Yep. Of course, it tells you to put your hand back on the wheel. Yep. Like, I have played with that a little bit, but it makes you nervous to let go of the wheel and see what it's going to do. But it does a phenomenal job. And we have coming, I don't know exactly when it's coming. Maybe you know, Josh, my technical side of it. When Ford's got on the F-150, they've got a prep package that's coming that we'll be able to install the self-driving truck.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's going to cost, what it's going to be or whatever, but excited for that. I can see the things on the truck where it's going to have the cameras and different things working on that stuff too. So I know they're very close to releasing that. I know they're fighting a situation of the truck actually watches your eyes to know if you're paying attention. So they're fighting the calibration of when someone's got a pair of sunglasses on is what they're fighting to be able to see what's going on with it.
That the F-150 there in the A pillar up there by the there's a little lens right there, and then on that Mustang Mach-E, it's just right above the steering column.
Is it
that little black bar right above the steering wheel right there? So it's right around the corner, very much so. And you know, what amazes me is just how safe these vehicles are. You know, I was talking with one of the one of the VOTEC classes, and we were going over all the safety features and functions, and somebody made the comment of we were talking about the collision avoidance in the vehicle, and I was explaining how it operated and stuff like that. And well, the comment was that, you know, what if it doesn't catch whatever it was that that you were going to run into, or which, you know, at this point these vehicles are very, very durable and seem to work very well. But I guess my comment back to him was that, you know, these are just aids to make us safer. And so it doesn't, at this point, doesn't take the responsibility out of the driver's hands to make sure that everything's going okay. And if you missed it and the computer picks it up and it, you know, saves a collision, what disadvantage of that? You know,
yeah, I know. I think a lot of people are looking for the car messes up. You know, you're still liable. You're behind the wheel from that part. So you're still liable for what happens to that car. It's not the manufacturer's fault if it does it, something jumps out in front of it or does whatever. You're still liable for what's ever there in front of you, what you hit or whatever too. So from that part. You got another caller tonight, right?
Yeah, Josh? We do. We've got Delbert. We'll get Delbert patched through here and visit with him and see what he's got going on this day. Today as well. But the safety features that they've put in these cars are just absolutely phenomenal. You know, how quick they respond, how quick they stop, how quick they maneuver from that side. And it's just amazing seeing some of these vehicles come in that have been in a collision and you're thinking, man, is anybody going to walk away from that? And, you know, they did. So
they didn't even get hurt. Yeah.
Yep. Good morning. You're live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this fine Saturday morning?
Doing very well.
Warming up.
Perfect. How are you, buddy?
Good. I finally will get my car in the shop on Monday. Finally got enough parts. I think there was a little hold up with the weather. But, get it going in there and get the fender replaced and get some of that front end redone. Get some paint on it, get it back on the road.
Get her back on the road.
I wanted to hit up on the tire thing you guys talked about earlier. I posted it on.
Yeah, you got 54,000 miles out of your tires, right?
Yeah, and I think that's pretty good for a factory installed tire. They usually don't last that long. They were getting to where they weren't doing very well in the wet, so it's time to change them.
Yep, I get it.
But I did with the snow, but it didn't help with the ice.
Yeah, I get it.
Just so people know, anti-lock brakes work. However, on ice, nothing can stop you. You can only try to avoid the wreck as best you can. And that's what I did in my case.
Yeah.
Well, and I sent you guys the pictures and how it fared. But it finally goes in Wednesday.
Yeah, I tell you, Delbert, even though you say it won't stop you on the ice or whatever, I will stay. The anti-lock brakes will get you. Your stopping distance will be drastically reduced compared to without the anti-lock brakes. So you're right. It can't stop you. I get it. But it does help that stopping distance and hopefully slows you down a little bit more so that impact isn't as hard.
And the other side, it controls the skid so you're in more control of where you go as opposed to just being spinning out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It did help me turn the vehicle to the left a bit to where I was not able to hit the full force on the back of the vehicle in front of me, just the side of it. But you know, $5,022 damage is what they estimated, and it might go up a little bit from there.
The
mounts on the antifreeze bottle is probably broken, but it hit that left side right side. Excuse me.
It's kind of like when the airbags first started coming out of these cars. I think it was in the 80s or something like that. People were scared to death of them and everything else like that. And I remember one guy said, look, I got hurt because of the airbag. And I want to say, you know, if that airbag hadn't been there, you'd have been hurt a lot worse. From that part, but again,
they might have been dead.
Yeah, exactly. So these airbags are tremendous saviors and everything else like that. Now the negative to the airbags is we're totaling so many cars because of the cost it takes to put these airbags back in the cars and stuff. It's crazy when these things blow, how much it costs to repair them, for sure.
Well, luckily nothing blew on mine, but it's just the fact that, you know, it's going to be down for a little bit. But, you know, you guys, what I was trying to talk about on the Ford Edge, is they really need to update the body style a little bit without making it smaller. My wife likes the Edge on the inside, but what she doesn't like is the way the hood's shaped. Uh-huh. It makes her feel like it's got wings on the hood, and it bothers her trying to drive it. That's why we never bought that. We bought the Escape instead.
Gotcha. Yep. Yeah, so, I totally get it.
Yeah, there is a lot that goes into the manufacture of these vehicles, and when they come up with body designs and stuff, I mean, there's different regulations all across the world. You know, when they're doing that, they're not just thinking of the U.S. market and what has to take place there. But I forget where I was. I think it was a training course somewhere, and they were talking about that, and, you know, basically all the rules and regulations that they have to go through to make sure that globally that the car is acceptable. And so it's amazing what they have to work around. It's not just let's model something out of clay and make it look as cool as we can and produce it, you know. We've got to make it functional too. So but I definitely think they do a phenomenal job with styling, you know, trying to adapt to those rules and also think about just cosmetic, period.
Yep, exactly. Well, anyway, Delbert, hope you get your car back pretty soon and get it all back tip-top shape and everything else like that for that part. And glad you're safe. Glad nobody got hurt.
Yeah.
And thank God for somebody.
Yeah, we all good there. It's just, it was the first day of the very cold weather that started coming in. It dropped. While we were standing there exchanging information, it dropped 5 degrees. So.
Yeah, I bet. Well, anyway, Delbert, thanks.
You guys have a great day. And I want to say that get everybody out there, like, share, and subscribe to your channel so we can get it growing. I see you got 451
we're gaining
subscribers now. So let's get it growing, guys.
You got it. Thanks, Delbert.
I like, share, and subscribe it myself. So here we go. Everybody that's on there, get it going. And everybody else will hopefully get it out there and get your channel going.
Appreciate it very much.
Get monetized.
Don't be losing.
Yeah.
Bye. Have a good day.
Thanks, Delbert.
Thanks, Delbert. Right. We're kind of cutting in and out there a little bit. Got Greg Stump and Brandon Gibbons giving each other a little flack on the chat side here. We'll see if Greg Stump will pick up the phone and call us from that part. Hey, here's a question. I'm going to get my eyes back on again, Josh, to read my text on this one. Christopher Redd, my morning, gentlemen. Love to watch your show response. How often should you flush the cooling system and or the transmission on a manual? I have a 2014 Focus with 160,000 miles on it. So, you know, Josh, the cooling systems, we used to never flush them back in the day until we saw a whole bunch of rust or corrosion stuff in them. Because all we knew about back in those days was strictly
freeze point.
That's it. Now these coolants have come out and their claim to fame is 100,000 miles, 150,000 miles.
But that lifetime, claim, yeah.
That claim to fame is the freeze point. That's it. They're not talking about the pH level, which now we know more about antifreeze and stuff. And Chris, it's more about changing it when the pH gets off, either high or low. Up in that part, because when the pH gets high, you get corrosion, start building in there, starts eating away at the metals and that sort of thing. And that's when it's time to do a coolant flush. So how often is it? I mean, I want to watch that pH, and the minute I see that pH starting to change, I'm yanking it out. I want some different coolant in there. And I'm not talking about just a drain and refill either. We need to put some additive in there to flush it to neutralize everything that's in there, flush the cooling system out and get a perfect 50-50 mix back in that system. Sometimes it's every 30,000 miles. Sometimes it's every 2 years. Everybody's driving. Every car's a little different on what they do from that part, Chris.
And it also makes a difference as to what coolant you're starting out with. Some of them lose that the pH additive package a little sooner than others. And so really, as part of what we do when we complete the multi-point inspection, that is one of the things that we check is the pH level on the coolant of the vehicle, again, just making sure that it's right for the vehicle. So yeah, freeze point's pretty much a thing of the past. I mean, it's very important still yet, but you just don't see too many coolants or vehicles that need service because of the freeze point on their vehicle. It's the pH level. And that end of the day is really what's going to cost the money. That's going to eat up the components or rust out the components and start having the coolant leaks or problems with block passages and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Okay. Now next one, Chris, is the automatic manual transmission fluid. And again, most people don't even think about changing that fluid. This thing, as long as there's fluid in it, it's okay. But that fluid breaks down just like everything else does. I wish we had a test strip to test that real easy, like we do the brake fluid or the coolant or whatever. But, you know, on that manual transmission, I want to take a color sample of that fluid. And as soon as I see it starting to change color, because we know what the color means, it's got a heat built into it and the heat's in there because it can't lubricate from that part. If it was my car, probably every 30,000 miles, I'd be changing that, because it only takes a quart or two and you got a simple drain plug to drain it. Put some in, it's very, very inexpensive service to save a few thousand dollars on a transmission. So I'd be doing it every 30,000 miles, but again, take a sample of that fluid. And as soon as it starts changing color, I'd be yanking it out and getting some new stuff in there. So anyway,
got another message there, I think. Let's see. We got another caller on the line. So
got
we'll
another
get
caller.
Them,
okay,
we'll
go ahead. Them, Delbert's asking, here. What does that service start out with a coolant flush? Josh, how much I don't have that stuff in my head anymore.
For a coolant service, again, this is with the BG chemicals that we use previously to neutralize it. And then there's a additive that goes in after. There's a sealer that goes in as well after. And then the coolant, and again, the machinery that we use, that service is $149.95. And, you know, the super cool will extend the life of that coolant or the additive package that goes into it to keep it from becoming corrosive or wet longer. So
anyway, James Fern made a comment there how we took care of his mom and helped her out. And so James, thank you for the compliment. Glad we got your mom taken care of. I got to do that for everything else too. So I think we got a couple callers coming in here too. So
yeah, we've got good morning, Greg. You're live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Boys, what's going on there? Long time listener, first time caller.
Well, Greg, I'm glad you finally called. I've been here and you've been wanting to call. So thanks for calling. How's everything in the helmet business?
I leave Saturday mornings for sleeping in. So I usually watch in my bed and I'm just not awake enough to make a phone call, you know?
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
So what you're saying is it's a good thing this is not a two-way camera.
For sure, it's a good thing it's not a Zoom call. Yeah, no, I'm up today. That's why Brandon's giving me so much crap in the chat. He said, you need to call in. And I said, I've been trying to call in for months. I'll do it today. So.
Yeah, I got it. So how's everything in North Carolina?
Well, it's a little warm here, actually. You guys are making me feel bad talking about all this cold weather and ice and tires and we just don't have that. We don't have that problem right now. It's not bad out here.
Well, I wish we didn't have it either. Trust me. I hate to freeze, but it's just part of the world. We can't change Mother Nature. So getting some, I saw you had quite a few helmets in the Daytona 500 too. That's pretty cool.
We had about 14 and none of them crossed the line first, but I did see a Ford one. So I'm happy for you on that front.
Well, I appreciate that too. So yeah, you had some good helmets there. I saw some posts on them things there. And Greg, I still can't believe what you guys do in those helmets and how good they look and freehand and style. Those things is crazy. So if anybody wants to check out your helmets, Greg, where do they go look at your helmets at? What's your Facebook and what's your?
I'll plug our stuff. Just go to Off Axis Paint. And that's on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. We have a YouTube page too. We don't have as many followers as you guys, but we're on the YouTube as well.
That's very cool. So love the, you know, we come out and saw you there. Well, God, it's been a long, has it been 2 years now since we come out? Or maybe a year and a half. I can't remember when we come out and saw you.
It might have been longer. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
We need to make a trip back out here.
We do. We do need to come again. That's for sure. That's for sure. So anyway, so glad you're having some warm weather. Where are we racing this? Are we back in Daytona again this weekend?
We are back in Daytona. I think we're just in Florida for the entire month, honestly. We're racing Florida a lot. But I watched truck race last night. It's pretty wild. And I'm sure the Xfinity race will be just as wild today. But you keep talking about all these hybrid cars. You think we're ever going to go to hybrid motors in NASCAR?
You know, I think down the road, I bet you we do. I hate to see it. I hate to hear it. But I bet it's going to turn into because I hear Formula One's already working on a 100% electric car. So I don't know.
They're definitely doing it. It's the, the E-Series. There's already cars. It's pretty wild how it actually works. They have two cars for the race. You got to run the first car as hard as you can. They have to go in, do not a driver swap. You swap cars, actually. And then you run the rest of the race in the second car because the battery goes down so far.
Yep.
I haven't perfected it just yet, but it's definitely wild to watch. But I hope NASCAR never. I think I hope we stay 8 cylinders for as long as possible here.
You know, I do too, Greg. I think they will. I think there's still going to be that need for that noise and everything that you hear when you go to the racetrack. And that is one thing driving these hybrid cars and these electric cars. I do miss the noise that you hear and everything else from that part. But I'm afraid we're going to see it down the road. How quick, how soon, how fast, I don't know. But I hope you're right. NASCAR can stick in these V8s and keep them pumping as hard as we can. And, you know, who knows? We can start getting some with these computers controlling them to get the emissions coming out of those things, probably pretty clean from that thing. And that might keep NASCAR alive a lot longer, because that's what everybody's fighting. He's got, the government's put such tight mandates on these CAFE ratings given the pollution coming out these tailpipes. So hopefully they can get a computer controlled and put some more sensors and things on these things, clean them up a little bit better as they're screaming around the track at 9,000 RPM.
Something. Yeah, for sure. Well, I just want to tell you guys, you do a great job. I do watch every Saturday morning and keep it up. And don't admit that you're speeding all the time, but you can't fool me and say you're being easy on that gas on the way home. I know you're sipping on that.
They call it go home gear for a reason.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, Greg, thanks for calling. Really appreciate it. And everybody go check out Off Axis Paint, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Check out all the cool helmets he does, and 14 helmets in the Daytona 500. So that's very cool, Greg. Keep up the good work and keep the calls coming to you, buddy.
Thank you guys so much. And Brandon, I'm sitting here waiting on my Chunky Poodle cookies. So
yeah,
you ship them anytime you want. Yeah.
There you go. Get them Chunky Poodle. If you haven't had the Chunky Poodle I can't even spit it out. Cookies, you need to. They are awesome cookies. Of course, I hate to guess how much weight you gain with them too, but they're great, fantastic cookies. And Danny does a great job with those cookies and stuff. If you haven't had them, jump on. She's on Facebook. She's everywhere. Get those Chunky Poodle cookies. As I spit it out there.
Just right. You gotta say that one.
They are
slow.
Crazy good. You can't just eat one either. That's the hard part. So anyway, Greg, have a great day, buddy. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you guys later.
See you, buddy.
Zero.
Anyway, just a few minutes left here. Got a few more callers. We could probably jump on the phone here real quick. 316-462-3673. And again, anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries, or you want to talk about, make sure I didn't miss any questions here or anything, Josh. There it is, Josh. Brandon put it up there, off-axis paint for the...
Oh, for the... to follow him on Facebook. And, you know, I was going to ask him what his latest helmet was. We didn't do that.
No, we didn't do that, did we?
It's okay.
Of course, when I was in his shop, God, maybe that's 2 years ago, maybe three. I don't know how long ago that was. We went out there. I'm telling you, he's got a program set up that's unbelievable. How many helmets are in there?
Yeah.
I mean, a semi-line going on, and he's got everybody doing different things. I mean, it's crazy. And then if you go check out some of the things they've done, how they can freehand that and airbrush that,
Yeah.
Crazy.
Very cool.
So go check out the off-axis paint. And then get on there and get your Chunky Poodle cookies bought from Danny Gibbons. They're very cool cookies, very great, delicious cookies. She's got all kinds of stuff out there, too. So, anyway, just a few minutes left on the show. And, okay, got another question coming in here. How long does a vehicle have to relearn the ECM? That's come from Rabbi Jackson. How long to relearn the ECM? That's kind of...
Yeah, so I'm not sure. The only thing that I'm wondering if he's referencing there is on some of these newer vehicles, if you go through and clear any diagnostic trouble codes in there, it does a relearn through a drive cycle. And so basically that drive cycle is different for every vehicle or for every code, as far as how long it takes to go through and do a complete relearn. And you'll have a diagnostic trouble code in there. It won't turn on a check engine light or anything like that until that is completed. So it's went through and done a relearn on everything. And, you know, typically you drive the vehicle, 10, 15 miles, 20 miles maybe, and it will reset. But the thing is, during that amount of time of driving, there's got to be so much idle time, so much, lower speed, stop and go driving, so much highway driving in order for it to complete that drive cycle. So I'm not sure if that's what we're after or talking about there.
Well, yeah, I think that's probably where you're at, Josh, too. And the only thing I will throw in there, too, depending on what your car you're on, too, how quick it's going to do it, all that kind of stuff, because some of these newer computers are pretty fast on what they do. Some of the ones back in the day weren't quite as fast.
Yeah.
and some of the technology that's in those things today. And we've always talked about this on the show. If you could take and put on a screen and show everything that's being adjusted and running in a car today to blow you away, how many things are adjusting, going on, and doing everything else too. Okay. And he says, replace the ECM on a 1988 truck and still stalls out. Yeah. So, Rabbi, there's probably, we need to figure out a way to get a hold of you and get your 88 truck in here and take a look at it. And replacing the PCM didn't fix it. So it's probably not a relearn situation. You probably got something else going on with that truck where you're losing fuel pressure, losing ignition, or whatever it might be that's causing your problem. But we'd love to take a look at your 88 truck with you and try to figure that out. But replacing the ECM didn't fix it. It's not really a relearn issue to keep it from stalling out either. So. Yeah,
one of the things on that particular vehicle is back then they had actual PROM chips, so the the data to go from one ECM to the other. And so I wonder if that got switched over. A couple of different maybe questions would help lead you in a direction there. So
definitely need to look at it and see what we got there, Rabbi. So if you want to call into the show, let's get that number back up there real quick. And or if you can't get to the phone now or whatever, you want to call later.
Yeah,
main store and ask for Josh. We'll get you in here and fix that part of it up for you to see what you've got going on in that part. So anyway, just a few minutes left on the show, Josh. We had a great open house last weekend here at the race season. And Darren McKinn, good morning. How are you, Darren? Good to see you there. Saw him here last weekend here. We had a lot of people out here at the deal kicking off race season. It is race season.
Congratulations, too. If you want a prize, we gave a lot of stuff away. A lot of stuff.
Oh, we did, didn't we? So that's part of the fun, part of everything. And Parts Warehouse is coming together pretty well.
Yes.
Getting things set up there and everything else, too. Got a lot of room to go there yet before we get the Parts Warehouse set up. But had a great open house. Hope a lot of people went down and saw the new warehouse, everything we're setting everything up with. So very cool on that side too. So come out and check out the Mach-E. Come out and check out the Power Boost trucks. Come out and drive the Bronco Sport. Help us get the 4,000 miles up on these Bronco, on a Bronco and the Mach-E, so we can sell it to somebody, but also have some fun with them. And if you haven't drove a 100% electric vehicle, the Mach-E is very cool and very fun to drive. So come out and take a test drive of those things and have some fun there too. So Josh, any last minute,
So, you know, one of the biggest things, again, with this cold weather snap that we're having was diesel fuel being gelled. You know, like I predicted already, we're about out of winter, but be prepared. You know, if you need some help with that or some understanding with that, we're more than welcome to help you and explain what you need, why you need it, and then also get you the right products. There's so many different options out there from that side of things. And what I will say is you're going to get what you pay for.
There you go. Anyway, Johnny Nitro just popped in here. Josh, you know that tech expert that he is, right?
Oh, yeah.
The tech master is in the house, he says. He said, let's go take that Mach-E out and test it. Let's go. Come on, Johnny, bring it in here. Let's go take that Mach-E for a test drive and see how cool that is. So
we got to get that the temperatures got to get warmed up so we can get that blue Mustang down the pass here before too long for sure and get going on that thing.
If you didn't see that, we had our yellow Mustang around for quite a few years. That's an 11. We now have a 21 GT that we've got bone stock. We're going to run it down the track, see what it does for an ET. Then we'll put a set of slicks on it. Then we're going to build it. And we're going to show you what it takes to build that Mustang into about an 890 car that we're shooting for, putting a turbo on it, doing all kinds of things. We're going to show you how much money we spent, how much labor we spent, how much faster it goes, and take you through that build as a process as we go. But we can't get it on the track yet.
Get the snow out of the way first.
Snow,
we're getting close. Everything. Yeah, we're getting close.
Okay, we're going to, Rabbi, if you will call into the show, 316-462-3673. I get it. You live in Hutch. We have a lot of people that still work in Hutch. We can surely figure out a way to get it over here, whatever, too, and from that part. So we'll figure that out, too. So anyway, Josh, time flies. You're having fun. It's 10 o'clock, and I think we're done.
Okay.
Hate to be done, but people, thanks for watching. Thanks for all the comments. Thanks for that. Please go to YouTube Live and get us liked over there. We need to get to 1,000 likes so we can do some more things with this show that we want to do to help grow it, but different things we want to do. But until we get there, we got to help me. So help us on YouTube Live. Anyway, thank our sponsors one last time, which is Big Corner Creative for all your advertising needs. Hey, anything you need for your business, if you need a web page, you need whatever, as those guys say, just Google us. BG Products, all the great preventative maintenance products we use right inside here at Mill Hamilton Ford. And of course, Go-To Rent. Hey, if you're looking for a rental car, 12 or 15 passenger van, or need something bigger to get to wherever you're going, get spring break primed up or whatever, give Stan a call right inside here at Mill Hamilton Ford at Go-To Rent. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay warm, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.